shooting of Michael Brown and what is to be done raises questions of how this is similar to and yet different from the Trayvon Martin event. In the case of Trayvon Martin, you had an unarmed black teen who was then shot by another citizen, a citizen within the state that had stand your ground law that endowed certain and still endows citizens with quasi-police powers to potentially use lethal force as a means of self-defense. Whereas in the case of Michael Brown in the shooting, this is one in which you're going into a long and torrid history of the relationship between the state and citizens. In this case, police officers and citizens of the state, and in particular, majority white police department and its black citizens, and the sense in which the rage and the frustrations of not only the black community in Ferguson, African Americans in the country, and also those in solidarity within within Ferguson, and people who have even gone to Ferguson, including journalists, is this sense in which trying to speak up and rectify a history of the dehumanization of black bodies that we see with the shooting of Michael Brown, and how does one actually talk about the rehumanization of a lost youth, and this is really what's at stake in among the various other issues in Ferguson.
The incidents to which you refer, Trayvon Martin and the events in Ferguson, occurred under the tenure of the first African-American president of the United States. What does that say to you, and what has the president's reaction been so far, in your opinion?
Sure. Well, I think in U.S. political discourse, there is a false collapsing of two notions, the idea of a post-racist society and the ideal of a post-racial society. So when President Barack Obama was elected in 2008 and then also reelected, the syllogism, which was a false syllogism, went something like this, that with the election of the first African-American president, the U.S. is moving towards a post-racial society, and by implication, that means that we would be in a post-racist one. We can debate and talk about whether we should still talk about notions of race and identity, but what's very clear is that we do not live in a post-racist society, and that there's actually a danger in actually trying to avoid discussions of race when we're talking about the realities of mass incarceration, particularly with regards to young black men and also young black women, but also in terms of the question of the president's response. The president's response has been jaded at different times because on the one hand, especially if we recall back to the question of Trayvon Martin, when the president made at a press conference and said, Trayvon could have been my son, there was he received a lot of backlash for in an identification at the level of race, potentially with having a son who could look like Trayvon. And yet in the case of Michael Brown in this unfolding event where we're still learning details, the president has been acting as rhetorically in terms of supporting the state's response and also the police's response to this community. And what's getting lost in the chasm between these two examples is the fact that there still is, and I want to localize it going back to Ferguson, is that it's clear that there is still mass racism within Ferguson. There is a majority black district that has a majority white power structure, not just in terms of the police, but also in terms of differing elements of the governing apparatus in terms of the state. And so in terms of the President Obama's response to this unfolding event, there are those who have asked, why is the president not in Ferguson? He has deployed, or at least is having Attorney General Holder trying to actually speak to the local community to try and act as an agent of the administration. But really, in my opinion, I think in order to actually try and move on and decipher what's going on, first there needs to be really a call for the police officer who shot Michael Brown to be taken in and arrested for questioning, innocent until proven guilty, but he still has not been arraigned. The other is the question of the militarization of the police, which is something that has come up very clearly in the case of Ferguson, but it is nothing particular to Ferguson in the sense that there has been nationally a mass proliferation in the last 20 years in terms of police forces and the militarization of the police. And we see something in particular in Ferguson in our eyes, right, that we didn't see even in the Trayvon Martin event, which is this very open exercise of police force, police power, militarization that I think the president still needs to speak towards